Bob Chua, also known as Uncle Bob, has a lifetime of great tips for magicians. Born in 1945, but deciding not to turn full-time as a magician until 1990, Bob is an award winner in close-up magic. However, he also does kids' parties and corporate shows. There are some really great tips in this podcast. Tip number one, take a tablecloth to every show so you can, if necessary, drape it over any available boxes or crates that you can find in order to create a table for your act. Tip number two, do close-up magic as a stage show, but have video cameras live streaming it onto big screens, huh? Tip number three, get the organizers to help pre-select the volunteers. And tip number four, a great way to start a close-up magic act at a dining table. Just use a bowl already on the table and produce sponge balls as, in inverted commas, fish balls. All right. Another tip, of course, maybe make some money at a casino.
They saw you and they said, oh, you're a magician. Can you come to the casino with me and win me some money by tricking the guys on blackjack?
Yeah, if someone want to employ me to go to a casino to bet and win money. If I want to cheat, I do it myself.
All right.
But I did a very unusual show. It's a kid show. And when I went there, it's a big house and only the birthday boy.
Wow, only the birthday boy.
And I got a lot of problems trying to kill my time.
Trying to kill the time, yeah?
You know, kill the half an hour. One to one.
Yeah.
So and now I have to show him how to teach you this magic. I'll teach you how to kill my half an hour.
Hello, this is Meet the Entertainers, and I am Big Ben. Over the years, I have met many, many fantastic entertainers, magicians, jugglers, comedians, acrobats, unicyclists. So if you're any of these, or if you are interested in birthday party entertainment, or if you do great big stage shows, then hopefully this podcast will interest you. Week in, week out, I interview all kinds of entertainers, and I've collected lots of tips and lots of funny stories from all around show business. To keep my costs down, not every single episode is available as a downloadable podcast, but if you go to my website, thebigbenshow.com/podcasts, you can find YouTube videos of each podcast, as well as footnotes, photos, and all the sources mentioned. And if you still want more information, you can contact me at ben@thebigbenshow.com. This week, I am delighted to be talking to, well, a very long-term friend of mine, legendary Singaporean magician, Bob Chua. What is your stage name?
Oh, don't you call me Uncle Bob as well.
Uncle Bob. And when were you born, if you don't mind me asking? Because you've had quite a long career.
Yes. I'm born in 1945. Just after the World War II.
Yeah. Same as my father and mother. Wow. So you're born in Singapore, 1945?
Yes.
And
yes.
Did anyone in your family have any idea that one day you would become a professional magician?
No.
No idea. Good.
I retired at 45.
Mm. Yes.
Sold my business away.
Yes.
Sold my business. Then I got nothing to do, so I go into magic.
That's right, yes.
To fill my time.
That's right, because you... you were a part-time magician for a very long time, and you had you had what we call a proper job.
I sold my business, yeah. Then I go into magic.
Yeah.
Just to pass my time.
Yes. Wow. Were you the first Singaporean to win a Merlin Award?
Oh yeah.
So were people?
That is in year 2002.
Ah.
2002.
Wow.
It's a long time.
Yeah, that's already quite a long time ago. So you won, for people who don't know, this is quite a prestigious award given to magicians. What did you win it for?
The title of the award is the best close-up magician.
Ah, close-up magic. Did you do magic when you were when did you first start learning it? Did you learn magic when you were a child?
Oh, not really as a child, but maybe around 17, 18 years old.
Okay. And what made you want to study it at 17 or 18? That's quite late to suddenly be interested in magic.
Yeah, because during my time, we don't have VCD, DVD, we only have books. And to get material from magic shop, you have to go to England.
Wow.
UK. That's Supreme Magic. And you have to buy the catalog, get a money order, send to them, and take 10 days to a week to arrive in Singapore.
So, wow, there were no magic shops in Singapore in the 1960s and early 70s. So you would order from overseas.
There's only one.
Only one.
There's only one.
Wow. How come you became interested when you were about 17 or 18? Was there any reason?
Not really. I like to, fool around.
Yeah.
As a young man.
Yeah.
I like to make fun of people.
Yes.
And magic is the best you can find. The best hobby you can find.
Yeah.
If you don't close up, you can perform anywhere with a deck of cards or some coins.
Yes.
But if you fish magic, you can't bring your props along.
That's true, yes. So I guess close-up magic is that it's one of the easiest and best ways to start, because you don't... Maybe you need some kind of table. Or maybe you can survive without a table.
Certain tricks you need tables,
yeah.
But certain you don't.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's quite versatile.
So
you must choose the trick you like, without tables or with tables, and you choose the trick to suit your environment.
Yes, choose the trick to suit your environment. Okay, I really want to know, what do you know about the history of magic in Singapore? I did a little bit of research. For example, there was the Great Wong, and there was Tan Hock Chuan in the 1950s, maybe, or the 1960s.
Yeah.
And in 1973, the Singapore Affiliation of Magicians was set up, and there was also the IBM, Ring of Magicians. And maybe by the 1980s, there were some magic shops in Singapore. Is that sort of right?
Yes, more or less on that line.
So when you were 17 or 18, did you join any of these associations of magicians?
To be honest, I never know the exits.
Right.
So only I met a senior magician who saw me showing some tricks, pulled me in to join SAM, the Singapore Association of Magic.
Right.
Not magician.
Yes.
And that was in the 1970s, early 1970s.
Okay, so a magician from the association saw you and said, why don't you join our association?
Yeah. Then we have to have a initiation test. So we have to learn some magic to perform at a class meeting in order to entitle membership.
Right, there you go. What trick did you do?
Because it's a big crowd, I call it color magic.
Yes.
And you use ropes, newspaper, or anything. I like to use something organic.
Mm.
I don't like to use big props, with a lot of contraption, just sleight of hand.
Yes, again, you're saying it's easy to carry, easy to transport.
Correct.
Yes. Who was the magician who asked you to join the SAM? Do you remember his name?
Oh, yeah. His name is Harry Tan.
Harry Tan. Did any...
I don't think he's no longer alive. Yeah. He's so old.
Did any other performers, any magicians influence you? Whether it's anybody you really respected or were mentored by?
Oh yeah, there's one magician which I always been together with him. Tanpachi.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Now you do, you can do a corporate stage show if you have to. You can definitely do close-up magic. I know that you've done kids' parties. I didn't realise that you also do a lot of magic lessons. I saw that online. Do you have a favourite out of those four or five things that you do? What's your favourite?
I still prefer close-up.
Close-up.
Because kids' show, you don't really need to teach a lot. It all depends on the prop.
Yes. Actually, it's very hard doing magic for kids sometimes because... You learn a great routine from a book or from a DVD, and then you go and try it in front of the kids, and you find that after 10 seconds the kids aren't listening to the patter that you've memorized. They're too busy trying to steal something.
Kids show is depends on your personality.
Yeah, yeah.
It cannot be taught. It's you.
I find that when I do magic for children, I have to kind of forget with what I practiced and rehearsed and just go with the flow. If the children...
Yes.
Yeah, if the children just laugh at the breakaway wand, the wand that falls to bits, I just do about 10 minutes of that and I forget about the rest of the trick.
True.
Yeah.
You cannot rehearse.
Yeah.
You only run through your tricks.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot rehearse what you do on stage because you never know what will happen.
With the children in particular, yeah. How do you say you're doing a kids' party? How do you structure it, like the beginning, the middle, and the end? How long do you stay if you do a kids' party?
Normally, I do 30 minutes for a kids' party, and normally the first trick must be fantastic.
Yes.
To capture attention.
What's your favorite first trick?
Normally, I will do
Tear and restore newspaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you do a fantastic first trick.
Sorry?
So you do the fantastic first trick, and a really good first trick.
Yeah.
And then?
Yeah. The middle is not important. The middle is just play with the kids.
Yeah.
And in closing, you must make something big.
Yeah.
Like you make a snowstorm or China, because a lot of what they call papers flying around, confettis.
Oh, yes, the snowstorm, the confetti snowstorm in China. Yes, yes.
Yeah, to make it glamorous.
Now, that's a good trick. Again, it packs very small, but it plays very big. It's just confetti, but it can turn into a huge cloud of a snowstorm. Yeah.
And you cannot have cold time.
No.
As if you are also a performer, you can't just agitate and wait.
No,
and
you've got to be fast.
The kids will follow.
Yeah, you've got to. You can't pause and fiddle around in your box and set something up. It's got to be bang, bang, bang every trick.
Bang, bang, and keep on going in.
Yeah, that's a good tip. How about a stage show? You must have done some corporate stage shows in your time.
Yes. Illusions.
So, how do you set that up at a corporate stage show? Because sometimes you don't have very long to set up a show at a corporate dinner.
Normally, you have to go there in the afternoon.
Ah, set up early.
Or evening show.
Yeah.
And you have to run through with your assistant. Because if you are doing illusion, you have to have a lady to be cut by you.
Yes. Okay,
and
so
you must have...
So you'll use an assistant. You'll do tricks like sawing the lady in half.
My favorite is zigzag, which I make myself.
Oh wow!
Zigzag lady.
Yeah.
And dollhouse, which I built from planks.
Okay, I know the I know the zigzag one where you have the boxes which zigzag.
Yeah.
How about the other one is a doll's house? Did you say?
A dollhouse. You got a house. You show empty inside.
Yeah.
It's a small house. Then after being a big bang and a woman appears.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. But if you set this up in the afternoon, does your stuff still have to be on stage when the corporate event begins?
Normally when you do this sort of illusion, you need to have a proper stage.
Yeah.
So you place it near the corner.
Near the corner.
And you need at least two assistants to push up for you.
Ah, so you
just can't put it up. It looks so awful.
Yeah.
You must walk up. You're angry.
I understand. Yeah, so you set it up to the side of the stage and your assistants will push it on, push the props on for you. Yeah? Yeah?
And I did close up on stage.
Really?
Many times.
Oh.
So I would have a table, pre-arrange a table on stage with four chairs.
Yeah. Oh.
Then I'll be outside. Then when the MC announced, I'll just walk in to the house and I'll pull four guests to come up with me on stage.
That's lovely, yeah.
And they'll sit down on stage, but I need to have a video camera with a big screen.
Yes, so you can do the close-up. As long as the organisers have a video camera, they can live stream the video onto a big screen so people can see
the video. Streaming, yes.
Yeah, that makes sense. I like that. That's very good. Can you ever do the same tricks for children at a birthday party and do the same trick for an adult show? Are there any tricks that work for both, or do you do very different tricks?
Sometimes children trick works for adults.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you heard of this hippity hop rabbit, where you show a black and white and you turn around and the kid know that you did it. It's not magic, but when you lift it up, the box is yellow and red.
Yeah.
I did one of this show. MD of a company, a public company, walk up to me. You can't fool me. I know how it works, but when I open up the box, so when I open up, it's a different color. Instead of black and white, and it just walks back to his table.
Oh, brilliant! That's great.
It's smooth and down, yeah. Everyone has a child.
I know that for entertainers, sometimes we are in very difficult. We have sometimes, for example, we don't have the perfect situation to perform. You can be at a corporate dinner, and for whatever reason, nobody's watching the stage. What do you do? How do you deal with an audience when no one's really watching or paying attention?
If I'm doing a corporate show, I don't do more than 10 tables.
Yes.
And I make sure the event organizer sent by some adults as assistant.
Right. Yeah.
Or else it would be a dead show.
Yeah.
Because when I call someone out, nobody will bother. They just don't care.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense. So you have quite a small group of maybe 10 tables maximum, and you also ask the organizer to prepare some people who can be the volunteers. Yeah, that's a very good tip.
And I will, then I can go down and pull them out.
Yeah.
But if I got, let's say, 100 tables, I can't do that. It's too big.
Yeah. How about for close-up magic? How do you approach a group of people? Maybe there's some people chatting. You know you've got to find an audience. You go over to their table, and how do you introduce yourself? How do you get them interested? Because sometimes people don't want to. They think they don't want to see the magician, even though they do. What do you do to approach in close up?
Yeah, many times when I approach a table, especially women, they refuse to see magic.
Yeah.
Although they want it.
Yeah.
They feel there's a, what do you call it? A barrier.
A barrier, yeah.
Between magicians and the audience. So I realize, okay, then I will go to their bowl and pick up a bowl. I say, do they serve rice fish for? I produce a sponge bowl, a rice sponge bowl, and they get suspicion. You look at the bowl. See, I don't have a rich bowl. So from there, you break the ice.
Yes.
And you like to see that? You take the sponge ball given to her and disappeared along the way.
Yeah.
And they're very curious.
Yeah.
And especially for lady crowd, I will try not to use playing cards.
Okay.
So you must, because many of them doesn't know the value of the card. The suit of the card.
Yes, that's true. Different languages don't know the names of the suits.
Yes, but if you perform magic with money, everybody knows.
Yeah. Okay, so you can take a bowl on the table, you can make sponge balls appear like as if they're fish balls. Yeah.
Yes.
You can avoid.
And you start with the drink.
Yeah, I like that. That's really good. I like that way. If you're on stage, what kind of microphone do you like best?
I would normally love to have a clip.
A clip, ah.
Mic.
Yeah.
But if they don't have any mic, works for me.
Yeah. But surely, surely you need to have your hands free to do the magic. So if you have to hold the microphone, it's difficult.
I can even try with a balloon or a rope.
Yes. Yes.
Anytime, it works.
Yeah, a great tip. You can use a balloon or a piece of string, tie it around your neck, make a loop to hold the microphone in place. It will work.
And worst comes to worst, if worst comes to worst, you can even use your shoelace if you are having a shoelace.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
Yeah, you can't do it with one hand holding the mic.
No.
And one hand doing the magic. It's impossible.
Yeah. What about your costume? Do you have a favorite style of costume that you wear?
No. It's a formal suit.
Formal suit. A dinner jacket.
Yeah.
A
dinner jacket.
Do you need to have...
And I did...
Do you need to have pockets in the right places, or they always have the right pockets for you to use?
No, it's just standard.
Standard, yeah.
It's just standard. I try to minimize. I don't like extra pockets.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can perform anytime, anywhere, even without jacket.
Yeah. That's good, yeah. So if you learn your tricks and you don't need extra pockets, you could perform anywhere, anytime. Yeah, that's true. Let's talk about teaching magic. I didn't know that you do this, but I was aware that you do help other people. I remember you helping my friend Jonathan Heron with some magic tricks.
Yeah, Jonathan.
Have you always liked to teach, and have you ever been able to make any money out of teaching magic?
Not really. I never get a sale from John.
So you never really made much money, but you do enjoy teaching it.
Yeah, just... You know, if you are a nice chef, you know, then I feel that it's worth my time to show you that you have to practice yourself.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, in Singapore, we have one very famous dove worker, Joey. You heard of him?
Yes. Oh, the dove, yes, the dove worker with the doves, yes.
Yeah. I'm the one who teach him how to do dove.
Oh, you taught him. You taught him how to do the dove act.
But I think you have to practice.
Yeah.
I don't do this.
Yeah.
I know the basic.
Yeah.
I can give you the theory. The practice you have to do.
Yeah.
And he did it very well.
Yeah, he does. He's really good.
I can't do it as well as him.
Wow. There you go. So you started him, and then he practiced and practiced. Tell me, what do you think is your best gig, your best job ever? What, is there something that you really are proud of or you really remember from your career?
Well, magic is a job that I love, I enjoy, and it's not work at all.
Not work at all, yeah.
Not work, no.
So the whole job is the best job ever. I think so. It's a great job,
yeah.
Entertaining. How about your worst show ever? Are there any nightmare shows where things just didn't work for you? Or the organizer just didn't book the right kind of act for the right venue?
It's not a bad show because we can always cover up.
Yeah.
It's a bad location.
Yes.
It's supposed to do in the clubhouse. No, so do it open, in a badminton court.
A badminton court.
Outdoor.
Yeah.
And no lights. Yeah, at night.
Nighttime.
And the children were there, but you have no choice. The show must go on.
Yeah. So you're saying they hired you to be outside in a badminton court at night time and there were no lights, so really darkness, no one can see what you're doing.
Yep. It's the fault of the organizer, not me.
Oh yeah. What can you do? Not much. You just have to be loud so they can at least they can hear you, but they can't really see you.
Yes. True. So as a entertainer, I mean a magician for a long time, any location works.
Yeah. Yeah.
As long as I portray Shuki show, I must have a table.
Yeah.
To put my props.
Yeah.
I ever did in the apartment, those, you know, public housing in Singapore, HDB flats.
Yes.
Hired by 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Next to the staircase, I put my table because I can't go inside 7-Eleven. They have no place for me to put, space for me to perform.
Oh. So, for people who are living overseas, in Singapore, the government builds what we call blocks of apartments called HDBs. And in one of the blocks, there was a 7-Eleven shop when they hired you, but you can't perform in the shop. So you say, okay, I'm going to perform in the stairs.
In the basement, you know, and also they can't provide me with table.
No table, no.
So what I did is, I always carry tablecloth.
Okay. Ah, oh, that's a good tip.
And you know the those container for beer or drinks.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Those big trays.
Yeah.
They should have. I get a few. I stack them up. I cover tablecloth. It's my table.
Oh, you get the crates that they use for carrying the drinks and things from 7-Eleven, and if you carry a tablecloth. This is a great tip. Yeah, if you're a magician, just carry a tablecloth. And you can make your own table anywhere.
Yes, I never carry my own table.
Yeah, that's a good one. Hey, Bob, it's so good to talk to you again. Bob, for people who want to find out a bit more about you, where can we find you on the internet?
Well, you can go to my web. I don't have a website. You can email me.
Yep, bobchua@gmail.com, is that the best one?
Yes, and my mobile number, 9111-0808.
Yes, +65 9111-0808. I think you do have a website, bobchua.com, right?
Yes, but I don't know whether it's still there or not.
It's still there, I found it. It's still there. It still looks good.
Because I have not been doing magic for 2 years.
Oh, Bob, it's so good to talk to you. Thank you so much. Really good to see you
again.
Thank
you. You have a safe.
Yeah, you stay safe as well.
This was Meet the Entertainers, and I am Big Ben. Each episode takes a surprisingly large number of hours to prepare, record, and edit, and check, and re-edit, and re-record, and edit again, and throw in the bin, and mend my computer, and take it out of the bin, and redo it from scratch, and then post it again. So, if you're getting something out of this series, here are 3 things you can do. Number 1, you can financially support this podcast by going to www.thebigbenshow.com/podcasts and making a financial donation of any amount you like. Number 2, subscribe or share these podcasts or give me a good review on iTunes. And thirdly, get in touch. I'm always looking for more people to interview. My email is ben@thebigbenshow.com. Many thanks. Talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I taught Jonathan how to make a Pink Panther.
Yeah, that's right. You taught him how to make the Pink Panther balloon. Is that right, the balloon, yeah?
Yeah, because Jonathan called me. I don't know him. And he said, can you teach me and how much I charge? I said, let's go to McDonald's. buy me a cup of coffee. That's all.
Oh, that's brilliant.
He was so happy.
Yeah, because even in 1995, there wasn't much internet really. If you wanted to learn how to make something, like a balloon module, you had to find someone to teach you.